From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we move ever closer to launching our 23rd year on the air. Gabe, we're only about a week and a half away from our anniversary. So appreciate everyone who has listened during that time and been an underwriter of the program and all our great sponsors and guests. And speaking of that, we're pleased to welcome in Marie Leatherby, a regular on this program. She's the executive director of the Sacramento Life Center. Marie, good day to you.
Good day, Bob.
How are you? I'm waiting for the day I say we're introducing Bishop Wiegand and it's you, or vice versa. I go, oh, I got the wrong name.
Wrong name. Oh, well, after 23 years on the air, congratulations. You're allowed to make a mistake or two once in a while.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, things are moving right along at the Sacramento Life Center.
Yes, they are. And I was just coming in from meeting twins that we had newly born that the mom just came to show them to us.
Oh, boy. And, I'll bet that was a day.
It's exciting. That's the best part of this job is holding those babies and seeing mom so happy and grateful. And she, this mom had actually started an abortion pill, took the abortion pill, and we got her on the reversal program. And it's just so rewarding to see these beautiful little boy and girl healthy. I got to feed them 2 bottles each.
Oh, wow.
A lot. And so it was fun.
Well, when you can, we'll have you bring them down here.
I know. Yeah. They are really, really cute.
Oh, that's great. How old are they now?
3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Today. Yeah. And they were like 4 pounds each, and they've already got up to 7 and 8 pounds. But they will be at our gala and are going to be one of our stories that we share this year on November 6th. So I know that's we're really excited about these little babies. So cute.
So the dinner is on.
It's on unless there's another, major shutdown, which, looking, the numbers are looking good, and things are going down, and they're good projections. So, yes, it is on. For those that still don't feel, ready to come out yet to something like that, we will live stream it that night so
very
they can
good.
Watch it.
Very good. Well, it's I've just read yesterday that California is the lowest of all 50 states in terms of, rate of illness.
Wow, that's
pretty incredible when you consider how big we are and so many cities that are, overflowing with people that we're doing pretty well. And here in the Sacramento area, at least parts of it, are the lowest parts of California. So, we're in a really good, spot here. And I think, a lot of people are being careful and respectful and et cetera.
Right.
Fairly high vaccination rate, et cetera. And so, I went to the Bishop Gagos Maternity Home. We had an indoor dinner about 3 weeks ago, something like that. Only 2 weeks ago, not even quite that. And, it wasn't probably quite as big a crowd as in previous years, but, people were wearing masks. People were, socially distancing as much as possible and had a great event,
And still had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people just want to get out and socialize. And, we'll be following whatever, county and state mandates will be in place. Right now it's masking, except while you're eating and drinking.
Right.
And that might get better. But, we want to keep everybody safe and make everybody comfortable. So a small price to pay to get out and celebrate and have good food, good drink, good people. It'll be so much fun to be together again.
What annual is this?
49th.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So we're kicking off going into our 50th year at this. And our theme is moving forward with life, and we have lots of new things we're going to do. We've done a big five-year strategic plan where we're going to move forward, and we just continue to grow and get better. And we'll be doing fun things like our five-year capital campaign is ending. We'll burn our mortgage and show what we're going to do with all those funds. Our building will be all paid off. And so just lots of fun things to celebrate this year, despite, being a COVID year, we're doing well. So.
If you give me that date, can I bring my mortgage and burn it too?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
a group burn.
Yeah, it'll actually be a faux fire because the Hyatt won't let me start.
That's
fire.
Right. Probably burn down the whole building.
Yeah. No, so that'll be fun, and we're kicking off some. I really want people to hear where we're going from here. It'll be exciting.
Boy, that's just great. Tell us you have a great keynote speaker coming in.
Yeah, Rebecca Buell, who it's really fun because she was number seven in the whole country out of now 3,000 abortion pill reversals. And her son, Zachariah, I believe he's 7 or 8 now, will be there with her. And her very first date with her husband was at our dinner, and where she got up and shared a little bit about her story back then. This mm-hmm. was 7 years ago. So now she's an international speaker. She speaks all over the country on this. And we were glad we had her first, and we're having her back.
Wow.
Again, yeah. And she just told me that when she was came to our dinner with her date, we accidentally put Mr. and Mrs. Becky Hagan. And she said it was a big hint to him, and we ended up getting married. But
that's great.
I thought that was cute. Yeah. So she's our speaker. And,
so you're kind of in the matchmaking business.
We do that.
Yeah.
Somehow that seems to happen. Yeah. So that's fun.
Great.
And, and then we have a great live auction. And Randy Parnell will be our auctioneer for the live. And lots of fun, great things. That's so much fun. And then we have a huge silent auction this year where everyone can bid and get something. And that's online. Anyone can bid
on
that.
So anybody can, even if they don't come.
Even if you don't come. Yep.
Great.
And you can sign up at our website. And then, of course, we have amazing raffle packages, trips and air miles and fun things to do. And so we have something for everybody.
And can people participate in the raffle?
Yes. Oh, yes. You can either come in and purchase tickets. On our website, we have tickets you can print off and mail in. We try to make that very accessible. Anyone can participate in the raffle as well.
We're talking with Marie Leatherby, the Executive Director of the Sacramento Life Center. Marie, for those maybe new listeners don't know a lot about the Life Center, give us a little bit of a review, a little bit of the history, and then all the services you do offer.
Yeah, so we've been around, like we said, our 49th year in Sacramento, helping pregnant women. And we're a licensed and accredited community health clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And we offer all services. We do early pregnancy care and other health-related services for women. And no charge. We've never charged anybody. It's confidential, compassionate, life-affirming care. And hold on a minute here. Oh, and an alarm's going off here at the Life Center. I think they forgot I was in the building. But so we do medical grade pregnancy testing, ultrasounds, STD testing and treatment, well women exams. We get women hooked up with, adoption referrals. We just do so much. We have a baby needs center till they're 2 years old for support. We have post-abortion counseling for women who are suffering from that. We do a variety of things. We're a full life center, for anyone that needs help. You don't have to be low income. You can just come in, and it's all free.
It's all free. Without regard for ability to pay.
Correct.
Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or somewhere in between.
That's correct. And we see, all kinds of stories. We don't judge anybody. It's just how to best go forward from here. You're pregnant and you're going to have a baby. Nothing surprises us.
Yeah.
No one's situation where we just want to help you in the best way possible.
So what are the toughest questions or issues you face?
From the patients
from the patients or in general?
Some people, I'm trying to think, there's so many tough questions that we face. We're, just here to help women, but people on both sides of the aisle, think mm-hmm. that we don't do enough, or and we do everything we can to, work with other agencies and finding housing and rent payments and mm-hmm. furniture. And we just try to do whatever someone needs. We're there to try to help them. And I think that's the thing people don't understand. It's not just a pregnancy test and you're pregnant and goodbye, that we do a lot. And I think that's the hardest thing to let people know, is how much we do for our patients and how much we care about them.
It's interesting because, mm-hmm. We hear that charge all the time. Well, you only care about them while they're pregnant and then, blah, blah, blah. It's just simply not true. And it reminds me a lot of Bishop Gallegos. They try to connect them with a great end of St. Patrick's home up in Placerville, the same thing. That's Mother Teresa, I think. Mother Teresa in Placerville.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the parish, I think, St. Patrick's in Placerville. And the St. Vincent de Paul, what can we do to help you? It's like even Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services. What can we do to help you? In addition to the immediate need, what can we do to help you? It's a very Catholic thing, although I know you're not a Catholic organization per se, but it's a very Catholic thing to do.
It is, yeah. We're Catholic founded and we really do follow that Catholic, ask no questions, just help.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good feeling, and we don't ask for anything in return except hopefully a better life for them, better choices. But we just make great friends with our patients, and you can read our Google responses. People just feel so loved and welcome when they come here, and it's often surprising because they're just not used to that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of places they go or clinics or things, we're just a wonderful group of people, and I'm just so glad to be able to work with the great group I do, the doctors, the nurses here, and then all our donors. I meet the greatest people, I think, on the planet that give to us, that just truly care about life and every life and these people that are in a bad spot when they come in. Want to help.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You don't take any public money?
No.
City, state, county, government, federal, international?
No.
Martian, anything?
We don't.
It's Ed. Even though you obviously would be eligible for some in some areas. And why is that?
Well, a lot of it is just the hoops you have to go through, mm-hmm. the scrutiny, the reporting, we just, I hate to say it, we just don't like being told what to do sometimes.
You might not be able to fulfill the precisely your mission.
Right. Yeah. If there was something that really helped with what we do, I think we, you know, might reconsider, but mm-hmm. we just haven't found funding for something like what we do to help women that are in that early pregnancy.
Right. Right.
But we do partner with, the federally qualified health care here in Sacramento, like WellSpace.
Uh-huh.
That they're pro-life. They don't do or refer for abortions. Mm-hmm. And there's 23 of them. And we refer most of their pregnant women to them. And they do, take it from there all the way to delivery and post-delivery mm-hmm. and pediatrics.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a great partnership with them, and we've gotten some funding, not federal funding, but from hospitals and other
right.
funders for those kind of partnerships that they feel are really benefiting women's health and children's health. And
mm-hmm.
So those have been really nice grants that we've received. So we're happy about those.
So if you had a magic wand and all the money in the world, what if anything would you change? What would you do? What would be your first purchase?
what it would be is more housing.
Uh-huh.
Bishop Gallegos
yep.
does such a great job, but there's not enough housing for these women.
Yep.
And that would be what I would do next.
I kind of knew that'd be your answer. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
I know.
It's a root of a lot of problems.
It is, yeah. It's so hard to find them. Bishop Gallegos has always got a waiting list. God
yep.
bless them. We just need more of that. So if somebody wanted to give us $1 million, it would be let's get some more housing
mm-hmm.
for, earlier pregnancy, in the pregnancy. I know Bishop Gallegos takes them a little later, but
right.
There's like a little gap there that we need help with. Yep.
Yeah, that would be such a big help. And it isn't just with pregnant women, but so many aspects of society. The homelessness is really a struggle. I know Mayor Steinberg has made it like priority number one, and I know
yeah.
he's doing his level best, but. And incrementally, I think we're taking some steps. Loaves and Fishes is doing a lot, but
mm-hmm.
boy, it's still one of those problems that just won't go away.
Yeah, and we do see pregnant women out there.
Yes, absolutely.
In the tents, and
yep.
that's we wish we could do more for them. Yeah, I was volunteering down at Loaves and Fishes a couple weeks ago, and just. Yeah, it's such a problem. I'm so glad that our mayor is really trying to take it head on.
Yep. Yeah, I think he's really, really sincere in that. I don't think he's an ambitious politician, and I'm sure there are things that he and I disagree on. But on this one, I think he's really got his heart in the right place. And he's been on this show a couple of times to talk about homelessness.
Nice.
And I think he's very sincere in trying to help his fellow man. So, but boy, I'll tell you, that's a tough one to tackle. And you see it in bulk, if you will, at Loaves and Fishes. You see it in a lot of places. And those of us who have always had a place to sleep, at least, or a kitchen and a bathroom, it's just hard to imagine.
Take a lot for granted. Yeah.
How hard it is. For people that are on the street, and so many of them, even I was hearing a story the other day about somebody that had a little bit of a history, and even though once they got a job and they got some help, it's almost impossible for them to get in the house because nowadays, especially, your history just follows you.
I know.
Yep.
And we had a client today with the bad history of a husband that.
Yep.
And left her alone, and she's getting evicted, and it's like, yeah, gosh, your heart goes out to them because she's got six kids, and nobody will take her in.
Nobody will take her in, yeah. And you know, and it's not, you know, you think, oh, the big bad landlords, you know, they're all selfish. So many landlords are good, decent people, but they got to pay the rent too. You know, they got to pay their mortgage, and it's just a vicious cycle. You know,
it is. So we just do what we can, and you know, try to make the world a better place. Each person that comes through has a different circumstance, and we just try to meet them where they're at.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we're guilty of looking at almost too big of a picture and just saying, well, what can I do in my neighborhood? What can I do one-on-one? What can I do in my little community? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, like we don't have to necessarily have an overarching plan that covers every single situation, but there are a lot of things we can do in our hometowns to
That's so true. To
help people. You know?
Yes. So. I think if everybody did that, it would be a different world.
Indeed. So, Marie, how can people sign up for the dinner?
Yeah. If you like to do the computer thing, you can go on our website at saclife.org, and there's a big button right there. You can register online. You can look at raffle things and auction online. And if you'd rather call in, my number is 916-451-4357, and I'm happy to mail you an invite if you'd rather do it, you know, the old-fashioned way. We're more than happy to do that as well. So we're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. Call us or come by or go online and register. But we try to make it easy for you.
Yeah.
We hope to see a lot of people. It looks like sign-ups are pretty good so far.
Good. And it's November the 6th, the Saturday?
Yes, it is. And it's at the Hyatt Regency Hotel.
Downtown.
And they do a fabulous job. It's $140 for an individual ticket. Tables are $1,300. And you get good food, wine. We put on a great program. And it's just a lot of fun supporting, I think, it's the most important cause in the world. But
well, you know. You need to think that. That's great.
Helping babies be born and have a life, and helping women in bad spots and men.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Marie, thanks so much for all you do, and we'll look forward to talking to you again before the dinner.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Bob.
Thanks, Marie. God bless.
Thanks.
That's Marie Leatherby, who's the executive director of the Sacramento Life Center. The Open House Weekend is coming up for our Calvary Funeral Center. Open House Weekend will be October 2nd and 3rd at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., October 2nd and 3rd. That's a Saturday and a Sunday. Appointment recommended. Walk-ins welcome. Plan your funeral, mortuary, cremation, and cemetery services today. You can reserve a private tour. You can call 916-452-4831 or visit their website, CFCS, that's Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, sacramento.org/events. Also on Open House Weekend, that one's at Calvary Funeral Center, which is at, St. Mary's is at 6509 Fruit Ridge Road, and Calvary is at 7101 Verner Avenue in Citrus Heights. St. Mary's is here in Sacramento. Also, Open House Weekend at All Souls in Vallejo, which is at 550 Glen Cove Road in Vallejo. Same time, October 2nd and 3rd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Also, at St. Joseph Cemetery in Woodland in Yolo County, and at Holy Cross Cemetery in Colusa. St. Joseph's in Woodland will be October 2nd. Holy Cross in Colusa would be October the 3rd, Sunday, and both at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. St. Joseph's is at 860 West Street in Woodland, just on the south edge of Woodland, and Holy Cross Cemetery right there at 1741 Westcott, at WSTCOTT. 1741's Westcott Road in Colusa. Yeah, 1741 Westcott. So there you go. Those are coming up on October 2nd and October 3rd. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
This is Deacon Kevin Stasko, the Director of the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry and Family and Faith Formation, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Deacon Kevin, for that wonderful introduction. Thanks for all you do here and all the great work in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, we are pleased to be joined by Jeannie and Brian Condon from Orangevale, unfortunately, virtually, by phone, but I guess that's why God gave us the telephone, or maybe Alexander Graham Bell did that with God's help. Welcome, both of you. How are you doing?
Good, Bob. Thank you. Hello to you.
Hello to you. Looking at the Catholic Herald, where you folks are featured prominently, everybody with a rosary in their hand. I like to see that.
Yeah, well, that's just something we do. We started 20 years ago when we had eight children, and Brian went to Europe for 2 weeks.
For a birthday party,
his sister. And we started praying a rosary every night, and when Brian got back, he slipped right into it. And it's well ingrained in our family now.
That's great. Were you praying that Brian would come back?
That too.
Yeah. That must have been some birthday party, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Well, first off, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family, your large family.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have a family of 7 boys and 1 girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we have homeschooled throughout the years. We have let some of the boys who wanted to, they went to high school, a senior high school, I think. A couple of boys went there just so they could play football.
Uh-huh.
And so it's always been an active family with with God in the forefront. And, you know, when you got that many boys, they got to get outside. They got to run it off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we got a nice house here in Orangevale, and it's a third of an acre, and my prerequisite was a big backyard. And we have always had a dog, and kids ran around there, and after they got bigger and bigger, we turned into bike riding and with helmets on, and we just rode everywhere. So it was just good to get with boys to see adventures and get their energy out.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a big family with a big backyard in a little small town back when you could get a big backyard. And as I grew up and had kids of my own, that became just a priority, you know, is to have a big backyard so the kids could run around, you know.
Yeah.
And to me, the hardest part of the several droughts that have come along is people were encouraging you to put in wood chips and rocks and all the cactus. And I'm going, no, the kids need grass to run around on.
Yeah. We've tried some lawns here and there, but, you know, the dogs kind of make their path in it and stuff like that. So I'm not quite sure what still is the best ground, but grass sure is nice.
Brian was always really great. You know, he worked 9 to 5, and where we lived in the Bay Area, he would take the train to work. And if I called him, he'd say, take the boys outside, get the boys outside. Outside, fresh air, running around has always been a prerequisite. And, I would like to do two things at once. I'd go outside, we'd maybe pray, you know, say some prayers while we were walking.
Mm-hmm.
And just try to bring our focus back to God.
You know, one thing that was in taking the train, which was, I gotta say, remembering this, we were in San Mateo at the time, and Gene would take a gaggle of kids, all these kids would come meet me at the train. And I had this big family, this big train of wagons and bicycles or skateboards, whatever method they were on. And seeing them, it was quite a proud moment. And
I'll bet.
And walking home together, and we'd check out the cats in the neighborhood. And the neighbors would come out and say hi to us. Mr. Dello would always say hi. So that was very special.
That's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? Now, did your daughter Elizabeth sue for being the only girl?
Oh, you know what? She knows she's real special. That's real special. She's the last one at home. She'll be 22 in December, and she's got a good head on her shoulders, and she's pursuing nursing.
Oh, wow.
She's not getting ready to move out, but she's got the strength and courage and the wherewithal that she's getting ready to. So it's a real joy, but it's real different now. I miss those days of young children. Lots of hugs and kisses. And
I know we have a boy on either end. They're the bookends, and four girls in the middle. And I just drove the youngest girl off to college, and now we're down to the boy who's still in high school, and one daughter who's going to City College. And boy, that's my wife and I say that all the time. I miss when they were 3, 2, 1, and a newborn, you know.
Yeah.
And I really do. Some people say, oh, good riddance to that time, but I loved that part.
Yeah, it took a lot of energy, you know. I kind of forget all the energy that it took, but, you know, when I'd come home from work, I'd change my clothes and maybe brush my teeth and jump right in and say, okay, Gene, here I am. You need a break.
Yeah.
Well, we see our one son, Sam, has 5 children,
wow.
And so does our son, Daniel, but we see what they go through with all the young children, and it gives us some memories.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. So your son, Ben, who I've met many times, and I've met you too at many vocations events, is a seminarian here in the diocese.
Yes.
And I was reading the Catholic Herald piece. I was really struck by the notion that you wanted all your kids to be open to vocations – but you didn't want to sort of push them through the door.
Yeah, we want them to be listening to God, to hear what God wants from them or mm-hmm. for them, because following God's will be their greatest happiness, whether it's being single or married or in religious life. That's what we really wanted. And we had something called the School of Quiet.
Uh-huh.
And we do that in the morning, and we just practice being quiet and still and closing our eyes and keeping our ears open. And we might read a gospel passage, you know, and say our morning offering. But we are filled with a world of noise and distractions.
Yep.
Sometimes to be quiet and still can be uncomfortable for people. So I wanted them to practice that silence is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Still is okay. Having a blank space in your head between your ears is okay for a few minutes. Don't be afraid of it. And different stories have come from the kids when God did break through the noise and speak to them. But it's been a good process, and we were then able to transition to having a weekly holy hour and not being afraid to let the kids be in front of the Blessed Sacrament for a whole hour.
Mm-hmm.
That time would go by very quickly and fruitfully.
Yeah, that always was a very, very special time that we had together. One thing that, in reflection, when I was younger, my parents had a German priest and Father Liebel, and he would come out from Chicago, and he would visit them when he could. And so I always had this example of having a priest coming over for dinner or even staying mm-hmm. with us. So we also brought that on in our house, that we had a priest come by whenever possible to, as guests, come over for lunch or dinner, or just go and talk and say hi. So they got a chance to see gentlemen that had chosen vocation for God. And so I think that was a good example that they could see that hey, priests are real people too. They're fun. Mm-hmm. They play video games, you know. So that was also very, very fruitful.
Yeah, so I'm intrigued about eight kids and quiet time. How long did that last?
maybe 10. I mean, how many years or
five? No, how many minutes?
if I was lucky, maybe 10.
That's good.
See, I'm famous for going off on rabbit trails.
Uh-huh.
We might be talking about something, and then something else would come up, and hopefully everything was done with love.
Yeah.
That was really important, and not forced. And I recognize that, you know, young children have a short attention span, and boys have wiggle worms in their legs. So, you know, between everything serious, we would have fun in between. Like after prayer time, go outside for 15 minutes for a recess. I could get my mind organized for the first subject of the day, bring them back in, get them set up. But interspersed, everything serious was playtime.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
there could be a lot of variety and something to look forward to.
You know, our daughter that I just took off to school, she first 3 or 4 days, you know, she'd call, and it wasn't anything very serious, but she'd own up to being homesick, and you know, and I remember saying to my wife, you know, it's because of what you and hopefully me and her siblings created here, you know, it was a house full of love, and of course you're going to be homesick when you leave that for a while, but that's what they need to do. I mean, it's right there in the good book that they'll grow up and leave mom and dad.
And that's what they're supposed to do. And if
right.
we do a good job, they are successful at their launch, their
right.
first launch.
Right.
But then we always keep the welcome mat out, don't we?
Indeed. Indeed. That's
when Ben first went away to Mount Angel, it was really hard. It was really, really hard. And he called by agreement every Sunday and Wednesday we would talk. And then after a couple of months, we thought someone had given us an iPad. We thought, well, we could, you know, FaceTime him or do something, one of those things like that.
Right.
And we got to see his face.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
that was so marvelous. And we still do, even though he's at St. Patrick's now, we still talk every Wednesday and Sunday, and that's a marvelous connection.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll get the bulk of the conversation with Ben, and other times Brian will.
Mm-hmm.
But we find that Ben needs it just as much as we do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So with Ben, did he at an early age give an inkling that he might be interested in the priesthood?
Well, he did, and I'll tell you how. We observed him being an altar server at Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And his face would glow, and he would be so attentive and devout, and as if he was really enjoying this service. And so we observed that, and people would come up to us, and they would have observed it as well. And so we used to go to confession every Saturday and then have a holy hour. And so that, along with Ben serving Mass on Sundays, we started seeing some changes in him.
Mm-hmm.
And he got more serious. And I think Ben would agree that it was at Eucharistic Adoration where the idea of a vocation really started to take root. And then, talking with priests and having priests come over, Father George and Father Aldrin and Father Liam McSweeney,
uh-huh.
Father Alex Estrella, having,
what great people you're naming.
Yes, yes, and they've all come over, that Ben's got to interact with them, and that really, you could just see things developing more and more. And then some people would go up and say, Ben, have you ever thought about a vocation? And a knowing smile would come across his face. And then, of course, in our prayer times, we talk about vocations and what is God saying to you, especially too after Sunday Mass, the Sunday Gospel. What did God say to you, or what movement is God making in your heart? And just that conversation around the dinner table too. Being able to talk about all things, the happy things, the sad things, the upsetting things, the things going on in the world, and how we relate to them, and then praying a rosary at night. Where does it say? You talk about God when you're rising, as you're sitting, when you're sleeping, throughout your day. We just try to incorporate that.
Mm-hmm.
In a conversational way, wouldn't you agree, Brian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I saw Ben speak at the vocations dinner, and I said to my daughter, I said, there's somebody who has really, really found his way. He's so full of joy. He's so full of love.
Yeah, we had the opportunity, thanks to Father Memo, to go to the St. Patrick's Gala.
Uh-huh.
And so Ben's twin, Thomas, and I, Tom drove me down, and we got to be at the gala. And, we would introduce ourselves, and, oh, are you Ben's mom?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Everybody says that Ben is so joyful,
mm-hmm.
Over and over again, that, he's so joyful. And it just comes out, in his gingerbread hair and the smile that goes from ear to ear.
Yep.
And we just point to God. Thanks be to God.
Grace of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Indeed, indeed. Say, I've been told that Mount Angel has a great Oktoberfest.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but you need a parachute to get in there.
Yeah, do you? I believe it.
It's a small little town, and it swells to 10 times its size.
Yeah, yeah.
We have 250,000 people.
Are you kidding me?
And and parking is, and getting in and out is really it's really a challenge.
Yeah.
Wow. So
you. But Mount Angel, I can speak for Mount Angel Spear.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but every time I talk to a seminarian from Mount Angel, they tell me about the Oktoberfest. So.
Yes.
That's great. That's great. It's a great part of Oregon for sure.
Yes. And the monks are very special, very, very special. Abbot Jeremy, oh, you just feel like you're with a saint when you're around him. So
obviously, you're equally proud of all your kids. It must be special though to have a vocation and a family.
It is, but we know better than to be proud. Have pride about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure.
So we do two things. We always think, thanks be to God. And the other thing, too, is we practice giving Ben away. Just like our Mother Mary gave Jesus away, Ben is the son of St. Mel and the son of the Diocese of Sacramento, or he's going to be. So we just practice giving him away so that everyone can embrace him. And we recognize the unique position that we're getting a more intimate look at the formation of a priest.
Right, right.
And to share that with others so that they can then feel more involvement, more prayerful attachment.
And it's not a quick process, is it?
No. No, he's going to be a doctor of souls, so it's like 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
But it goes by real quick. He's more than halfway done now. And he's looking, he's closer to ordination than he was when he started. So.
Oh, that's good. I can't imagine what that day for parents must be, the day of ordination and probably the day when he celebrates his first Mass.
Oh, my goodness. I hope you'll be there with us.
Oh, I would love to be.
Okay, you're invited.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm honored. Yeah, so.
We remember Father Alex's first Mass and his ordination.
Yeah.
And, oh, my goodness, for anyone who has the opportunity to go to an ordination and a first Mass, it's so divinely, it's so divine. There's really no words for it. You're left speechless. For the supernatural beauty.
Where was Father Alex's first Mass?
St. Mel's.
At St. Mel's, okay.
At St. Mel's.
Wow.
And, you know, the Masses could be up to 2 hours long, but for the people who are there, they don't mind.
Yeah.
It's not like you're looking at your watch, when is this going
to be? Yeah. I want to hear that first homily, too.
The first homily, not that, but there was a reception afterwards, and there's something very special about the first blessings, you know, of a new priest.
Sure.
And he knelt down in the altar, and he gave us his first priestly blessings.
Wow.
And that was also very, very special.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, Jeannie and Brian, it is such a joy to talk with you. I will circle my calendar for what, about 4 years down the road here?
About that. I will keep you in mind, okay, Bob?
Very good. Very good. Well, God's blessings to you and your family and everybody in your community there. And we'll look forward to our paths crossing again in person one day soon.
I hope so, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for all that you do.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much. God bless.
You and all the Dunning family.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. That's Brian and Jeannie Condon. And their son, Ben, is a seminarian. Of course, they have 8 sons and a daughter. Remarkable family. Father Memo, who is the vocations director here in the Diocese of Sacramento, in the Catholic Herald, he had Beatitudes for Nurturing Vocations in the Family. Father Guillermo Memo Hernandez, Director of Vocations for the Diocese, recommends these to parents. These Beatitudes for Nurturing Vocations in the Family. This comes from the U.S. National Religious Vocation Conference. 1, witness love for their spouse, their children, their neighbor. As these are blessed are the children of parents who, 1, witness love for their spouse, their children, their neighbor, and the world. So important, just so important that the kids see mom and dad loving around each other and speaking lovingly of their kids and their people in the neighborhood and the world. You know, it's so important. Talk freely about the presence of God and the joys and sorrows of their lives. remind their children that they are loved by God and have been given gifts to serve others. Very important reminder. We tell our kids that all the time, that, you know, God gave you specifically certain talents, certain gifts, certain things to share with the world. And you are unique. There's not another you there. And God made you exactly as you are. So therefore, there's a very special reason for you to be here. You're not just one of 6 billion. Well, you are one of 6 billion, but you're a very unique one of 6 billion. And you have a role, as do the other 5,999,000,000, et cetera, people in the world. Also, lead their family in prayer. So important. 5, speak positively about priests, sisters, brothers, deacons. Participate in the lay ministries and activities of their parish and community. Invite a priest or religious sister to your home. You hear the Jeannie and Brian Condon saying that they regularly had a priest over for dinner or for lunch or just to stop by and talk. And very, very important. Encourage their children to consider priesthood and religious life as well as Catholic marriage. And there would, if you look at this time's Catholic Herald, they talk about helping with vocations. Jeannie and Brian took the advice of a priest who Jeannie heard speak at a conference. I said, I have 7 sons, and what can I do to help with vocations? 7 sons and a daughter. I'm sorry, I think I said 8. He said pointedly, don't do anything. Let God do it. Don't get in the way. So I constantly said, it's your choice to bend, but just listen to what God has to say. They also recommend getting outdoors in nature as a family. You can learn so much about God and relationships and the world's problems and solutions in being outside the park, the bench, or hiking. Parents should also not be afraid to let their children see them pray. There's a strength when Brian's praying, the dad. He closes his eyes and he's in deep communion with God, and the children see it, so they know he relies on prayer. Loving in a family is the key. Most vocations, these are Jeannie speaking, most vocations are going to come out of the family. Yes, there's going to be problems, anger, and sorrow, but you apologize. You get back together. Start again. Pick up and take the next step. That's love. So do not be afraid of being a family. You only get this one chance to do it. They say that Jeannie and Brian gave give Ben complete freedom in his continuing discernment of the priesthood. And it is. It's a long process of discernment. We tell him it doesn't end when you enter the seminary. We tell him if you discern out, you have a place here. It's very easy to be human and want your son to be a priest or your daughter to be a nun and put so much pressure on them that they can't truly discern. So we give him complete freedom. Discern as you will. It's not going to change our feelings. That's where the real freedom is. The pressures, according to Ben, the pressures and expectations will be there, and it's a process of maturity to let go of those expectations. I understand, Ben says, that as much as Mom and Dad encouraged me in my vocation, it's no longer up to them. It's up to God and the church and my own engagement. A lot there, an awful lot there. But what a remarkable family, and just a joy to talk to them. Have run into them at a number of vocations dinners and other events in the diocese. And you know, if you look at the current Catholic Herald, and we've reviewed parts of it, but we will continue to review other parts about courtship, about family, about marriage. Some really, really, really wonderful stuff in there. Another story about the Acosta family of Presentation of Blessed Virgin Mary Parish in Sacramento. What is God asking me to do as a parent? And then the one we have discussed a little bit, a pandemic courtship, Juan Carlos and Bridget, who met online and fell in love. A more common story today than it used to be, for sure. And just a lot of great stories in the current Catholic Herald. So just a wonderful, wonderful edition. And we'll continue to explore a lot of that. Reminder again, the cemeteries open houses coming up October 2nd and third throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. St. Joseph's in Woodland is the will be the 2nd of October from 10 to 4, and up in Colusa, the Catholic cemetery there will be October the 3rd from 10 to 4. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just. I'm reconciled.